So she's excused. We're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So move.
Motion made by Marie. Seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carried. Looking for a motion to approve the August 4th LOC meeting minutes and forward to the Business Committee for consideration.
So move.
Motion made by Marie. Seconded by Kirby. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carried. Moving on to current business, the furlough law amendments. Kristen?
Good morning. This item starts on page 4 of the packet. The LOC added this item to the active files list on October 7th, 2020 to incorporate Indian preference into the nation's furlough programs and provide clarity regarding certain processes within the law that were flagged for analysis following the recent furlough program that was implemented in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The draft with all the proposed changes was provided during the LOC meeting of August 4th, 2021. During that meeting, the LOC was presented with the changes and a brief explanation of the changes was provided on the floor. The LOC accepted the draft as proposed and then made a motion to have the legislative analysis developed and brought back to the next LOC meeting, which is today. Provided as a handout is the legislative analysis to the proposed amendments to the furlough law. The legislative analysis is a plain language explanation of the changes that are being proposed to the law. Within the analysis, you will see that there are explanations regarding the many amendments and sections that were either added or amendments that were made to the law. And then at the end of the legislative analysis, you will see that there are some considerations that were included for the LOC to consider prior to heading to the public meeting. So at this point, I would be looking for a motion from the LOC to approve the draft and the legislative analysis and to defer it to a work session for further consideration.
Motion to approve the draft amendments to the furlough law and legislative analysis and defer to a work meeting.
Second.
Motion made by Kirby, seconded by Danielle. Questions or comments? I would only ask when the minutes are published that this handout gets put in the minutes as well.
Right, we update the packet right after our meetings if there's a handout included in there.
Okay, thank you. No other questions, comments? All in favor say aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to local land use regulations reimbursement policy repeal. Clarissa.
This item starts on page 33 of your packet. So the local land use regulation reimbursement policy was first adopted by the Oneida Business Committee in 2009 for the purpose of preserving and protecting the inherent right of the Oneida Nation to create and enforce tribal land use regulations on the reservation by reimbursing tribal members, non-members, and businesses subject to land use regulations of the nation for fees and or fines associated with compliance under written protest with the local land use regulations. So this law was necessary because certain local governments refused to recognize the preemption of state and local land use regulations with the respect of to activities of tribal members and tribal-owned businesses on the reservation, and with respect to non-members and non-tribal member-owned businesses utilizing tribal land, and refused to recognize the authority of the nation to regulate such activities. So this situation created hardships for tribal members, non-members, and businesses who were inappropriately threatened with enforcement of local land use regulations. So the purpose of this law was to alleviate such hardship. The law neither condoned the acts of the local governments nor conceded that such local governments have jurisdiction to regulate the land use of tribal members and non-members and businesses otherwise subject to laws of the nation. So on June 4th, the Oneida Law Office submitted a request to the LOC to consider the repeal of the local land use reimbursement or land use regulation reimbursement policy based on the Big Apple Fest decision that confirmed that municipalities have very limited jurisdiction over the nation and its tribal members on the reservation. The law office has advised that tribal business units can move forward with projects with just tribal permits only. Due to the definitive ruling we received in the Big Apple Fest case, the law office said that the policy considerations supporting this law no longer exist, so it should be repealed. And then repealing this law would be consistent with the Oneida Law Office's advice that tribal business units can move forward with projects with tribal permits only. So the Legislative Operating Committee added the law to its active files list on July 7th, 2021. So overall, the reason for the repeal of this law is the result of the Oneida Nation versus the Village of Hobart and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. So some background on this item. So the nation annually holds its Big Apple Fest to provide family fun on the reservation and activities at the Big Apple Fest. Oops.
Nobody's having any sound on the other side. You fixed it? Okay.
It's working now.
Okay. I think you have to have your mic on. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the nation annually holds its Big Apple Fest to provide family fun on the reservation. This includes activities such as pick your own apples, horse and wagon rides, a variety of food, live music, various demonstrations, pony rides, log home tours, time period clothing, old time games, a farmer's market, and an apple pie contest. So the Big Apple Fest is held at the Oneida Apple Orchard and the Oneida Cultural Heritage, which are both located on both trust and land and land owned by the nation in fee simple status. So in 2016, the Village of Hobart, which lies entirely within the boundaries of the Oneida Nation Reservation, adopted a special events permit ordinance that required the nation to obtain a permit for its festivals. So the nation rejected Hobart's permitting process and its continued attempts to assert jurisdiction over tribal lands and members. So the nation held its Big Apple Fest, and as a result, Hobart then issued the nation a $5,000 citation for violating its ordinance. So the nation then filed an action in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin for declaratory and injunctive relief that challenged Hobart's legal authority to enforce the ordinance. Hobart filed a counterclaim for declaratory relief. So the court later dismissed the counterclaim, reasoning that the nation would comply with the ordinance following the ruling in the case. The court then entered summary judgment for Hobart, holding that the festival grounds owned by the nation in fee simple were not sovereign federal trust land and thus fell within Hobart's jurisdiction. So the court inferred that Congress's intent to diminish the reservation was manifest in the Dawes Act and subsequent legislative acts, which divided the reservation into individual allotments rather than collectively held tribal property, and thus the conveyance of tribal members' fee simple lands to non-tribal members following allotment, paired with the fact that these lands were not reobtained and placed in the federal trust, meant that the lands in question no longer constituted the reservation. So the court determined that since the Big Apple Fest was held on non-trust property, the court reasoned that the nation was subject to Hobart's ordinance. So the nation then appealed this decision of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. So the Seventh Circuit reversed the lower court's decision and confirmed that the Oneida Nation Reservation, as defined in the 1838 treaty, remained intact and was not diminished by Congress. Therefore, the land falling within the reservation's boundaries was Indian country under federal law and not subject to most state and local regulations. So Hobart lacked jurisdiction to apply its ordinance to the nation's on-reservations activities. So the effect of this decision is the decision in the Oneida Nation versus the Village of Hobart affirms the nation's sovereignty and sets forth the precedent that local governments such as Hobart do not have the jurisdiction to apply their ordinances to the activities of the nation on the reservation due to the fact that the reservation is Indian country and not subject to local or state regulation. Therefore, this law is no longer necessary since the decision in the Oneida Nation versus the Village of Hobart recognizes the authority of the nation to regulate such activities as well as the preemption of state and local regulations on the nation. So in your packet on page 35, you'll find the legislative analysis for the local land use regulation reimbursement policy. So the legislative analysis provides a plain English explanation of the law describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the Legislative Operating Committee to make informed decisions regarding legislation. So a legislative analysis includes a statement of the legislation's terms and substance, the intent of the legislation, a description of the subjects involved, including any conflicts with Oneida or other law, key issues, potential impacts of the legislation, and policy considerations. So the legislative analysis contains much of the information that I've shared today. Then on page 34 of your packet, you'll see the public meeting notice for the repeal of the local land use regulation reimbursement policy. So the repeal of this law is ready to go to public meeting. So the community has an opportunity to comment on the repeal of this law. So the Legislative Operating Committee has tentatively scheduled a public meeting to be held on September 9th, 2021, in accordance with Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC8321A, titled Setting Public Gathering Guidelines During the Public Health State of Emergency COVID-19. The public meeting will not be held if the infection rates within Brown or Outagamie counties exceed low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. So if a public meeting is not held in person, the public comment period would still remain open, and the nation's COVID-19 team's March 27th, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act shall take effect. So this declaration provides that the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period is suspended due to the COVID-19 public health emergency. Although there's no public meeting, the public comment periods still occur, and individuals can participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, or other input via email to loc@oneidanation.org. So what we're asking the LOC to consider today, and I should highlight that public comment or written comments will be accepted via email until the close of business on Thursday, September 16th, 2021. So what we're asking the LOC to consider today is to adopt a motion to approve the local land use regulation reimbursement policy repeal legislative analysis and public meeting notice, and tentatively schedule a public meeting for the repeal of this law to be held on September 9th, 2021.
Danielle.
Let's make a comment. I have yet to review the law in detail to fully understand what's in it. But I believe that we need to be careful of repealing our own laws that define our own sovereignty and jurisdiction for ourselves. And we shouldn't be changing or repealing our laws because someone else defines our sovereignty and jurisdiction for us. We should be, defining that for ourselves and not, to be dependent upon another government's determination of what makes us sovereign and what authorities we have. So I won't oppose it, but I will be abstaining because I need to fully understand what's in the law first. Thank you.
Kirby.
I'll approve the local land use regulation reimbursement policy repeal legislative analysis and a public meeting notice, and tentatively schedule a public meeting for the repeal of the local land use regulation reimbursement policy to be held on September 9, 2021. But also noted that written comments will be extended to September 16th.
Motion has been made by Kirby.
I second that, but I do have, we do have the public health safety order resolution that doesn't allow gatherings indoor or outdoor until September 26th. So we probably will need to change that date to a later date right away. And I do understand the repeal of it. So my question becomes, are we going to have something to replace this? And I wanna make sure that the citizens are able to cope with anything that has an adverse effect by repealing this, such as if Hobart continues to issue permits. Are we working on something to replace and strengthen our sovereignty stance of our own law? Have our own law, permanent law, or is that already in place?
At this time, we are just processing the repeal of this law, and I think the presumption is that the result of the Oneida Nation v. Village of Hobart kind of embrace the nation's sovereignty so that we wouldn't have to have this law. If the LOC determines that it would like something to replace it that states that outright, I mean, that's something that we can explore as we move through. So just because we're sending the repeal to public meeting, that doesn't prevent us from having those discussions and further exploring if the LOC would like to see some other policy replace it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the motion was made by Kirby, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? Kirby?
It's tentatively scheduled for September 9th, but you had mentioned the we need to change that date?
Yes, we have the BC resolution that where we're the public health emergency. It goes until September 26th. So we wouldn't be able to hold public meetings.
Well, that's correct. But we did have a couple other ones where we just took the written comments because we couldn't have the meeting. So I think that's extending it to the 16th would be an extra time period for them to write comments.
Okay. Yeah, so the public health state of emergency itself doesn't prevent indoor or outdoor gatherings. That just says that we're in a state of emergency for the nation. We do have, as I stated, that resolution that the business committee adopted, which if I look on resolution, the number is BC 8321A. So it's that resolution that sets the guidelines for having public gatherings. And that resolution says you can't hold indoor or outdoor public gatherings during the public health emergency if the infection rates are higher than low. So right now we are higher than low, so we would not be able to hold this public meeting. The reason I did the public meeting notice this way and tentatively scheduled with if by any chance those numbers were to fall to low, then this would give the LOC the opportunity to hold an in-person public meeting. But it also identifies on this notice that if they remain high, we wouldn't be holding the in-person public meeting and instead we would just be doing written comments.
Okay, and that's where I was losing myself because I was thinking we're gonna have a public meeting, but I didn't think of the public or the public comment writing period.
Yep.
So yeah, I get it, thank you.
Okay, no more questions or comments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Abstention, motion carries. One abstention, Daniel. Okay, moving on to new submissions, fire sign law.
So this item starts on page 45 of your packet. You'll see the agenda request form for this request. So on July 28th, 2021, the Oneida Business Committee adopted a motion to request the LOC to develop appropriate legislation regarding fire signs. After this, you'll see an excerpt from the draft 7-28-21 OBC minutes. I do want to highlight that this afternoon I will be meeting with the Director of Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications and Self-Governance to discuss the reason for the request for this legislation and get more information, because the BC made the motion during the Intergovernmental Affairs, Communications and Self-Governance July 2021 report. So the LOC has already expressed interest in adding the fire signs law to its active files list. So we'd be looking for a motion to add the fire signs law to the active files list with a sponsor designated.
And if nobody wants to be the sponsor, it defaults to the chair, so I can be the sponsor if you guys want me to.
Okay, so move, and with David Jordan being the sponsor.
Support.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Daniel. Adding myself as the sponsor. Questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to the second one, personal policies and procedure amendments, revisions of HRD manager title.
This item starts on page 47 of your packet. You'll see the agenda request form. On August 11th, the LOC received a request from the Human Resources Department for amendments to the personal policies procedures to address the revision of the HRD manager title. So you'll notice that they said their description for why this is needed. It states, with the new executive human resources director starting employment after Labor Day, the nation's personal policies and procedures need to be updated to reflect this position in place of the HRD manager title. And then I do want to highlight that the personal policies and procedures, it's already currently on the LOC's active files list, so we do not need a motion to add this on the active files list. What the LOC can do instead is to accept this information and include it in our records so that when the LOC determines it's ready to work on the personal policies and procedures, this issue can be addressed. So because of that, we're looking for a motion from the Legislative Operating Committee to accept the information provided in this request as FYI.
So move.
Support.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carried. Moving on to workplace violence law amendments.
So on this item starts on page 48 of your packet. On August 11th, the Legislative Operating Committee received a request from HRD to make amendments to the workplace violence law regarding employment eligibility. So on the agenda request form, you can see that they said the reason for this revision is employees terminated for workplace violence are eligible for rehire unless they were charged and convicted of assault. This is not equal to drug and alcohol terminations that require a pardon for rehire in section 11.5C1. So terminations for workplace violence should also require a pardon for rehire. They marked that they do believe this request is urgent. After the request, you'll see included with the agenda request form a copy of the workplace violence law, as well as a copy of the drug and alcohol free workplace law. So the workplace violence law is also currently on the active files list for amendments. So again, this does not need to be added at this time because it's there. So again, I would be recommending a motion from the Legislative Operating Committee to accept the information provided in this request as FYI.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Kirby, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? None. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to personal policies and procedure amendments, selection policy.
So this last request for a new submission starts on page 64 of your packet. So on August 11th, the LOC received another request from HRD for amendments to be made to the personnel policies and procedures. These amendments are regarding the selection policy. So the description they provided for why these are necessary is that they needed amendments to update the nation's personal policies and procedures using current interpretations, language, and technology. So these updates will improve supervisor applicant time to fill with more options. So they did mark this request as urgent, stating that they want to minimize the time to hire employees from post to hire in a tightened labor market. Included with the agenda request form, they have an excerpt from the personal policies and procedures, the original current version that's in effect today. They also included a redline version of their proposed amendments, as well as a clean edited version of their proposed amendments. Again, the personal policies and procedures is already on the Legislative Operating Committee's active files list, so we do not have to make a decision to add this. What we can do is accept this information as FYI and save this information on our records so that when the LOC does decide to amend the personal policies and procedures, we can address these proposed changes at that time. So I'd be looking for a motion from the LOC to accept the information provided in this request as FYI.
I've got question from Geraldine. Go ahead, Geraldine.
One of the reasons why we need this to be acted on more quickly is because we're hoping to run under an emergency amendment simply because we need to expedite the hiring. We've got to get rid of some of those rules that are in our way right now, and the only way to do that is run through the LOC to get those changes, even if they're made on a temporary basis, because you know we're all struggling with trying to get positions filled in this organization. So this would really help us get that done more quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. So you're actually asking for this to be emergency amendments on this one? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Was it submitted that way, Clarissa?
It wasn't clear from the submission that they were requesting emergency.
Would it rise to the occasion for emergency? There's a certain criteria that we can have emergency or not, and I'm just asking Clarissa if it would meet that requirement.
In order to process emergency legislation, the request has to be for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the need for the amendments has to happen sooner than would be possible under the requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act. I'm not sure if at this point changing the hiring selection process rises to the level of emergency legislation. Ultimately, that decision is up to the discretion of the Legislative Operating Committee. It is already on the active files list right now, so I don't think we necessarily need to make a motion. If the LOC would like more time to maybe look at this more in depth to see exactly what the specific revisions are, what we can do is we could accept the information as FYI and add this topic to an upcoming work session and then delve more deeper into that at that point in time.
Marie.
Okay, so the emergency you're saying has to be health or safety related?
Yes, so the emergency has to be needed for the immediate preservation of the health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population. So that's the standard provided by the Legislative Procedures Act.
Okay. I do think that these are important because I haven't looked at this closely, but we're in a hiring crisis. So I think that whatever is delaying the hiring piece of it and prolonging it has to be looked at. I do have concerns about getting employees in the door. So I think we should go ahead and accept it and look at it to see, you know, what is wrong with this. It's unfortunate it doesn't meet the health, safety, or general welfare of the community.
I think it does meet does general it? Welfare. It could.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's your guys' determination to make, whether you think that it meets that standard. If the LOC believes that that standard could be met, then it could be processed as an emergency. So ultimately, you guys kind of have to weigh the request and decide if you think that that can be supported.
Yeah, the general welfare, I would look at that as part it affecting the community. But if there aren't employees coming through the door, we're going to lose revenues. And that will affect the general welfare of the community overall. If we start losing revenues and unable to provide services due to lost revenues. So I could see it that way. So that's my interpretation.
You certainly can make the motion to add it to emergency if you want to.
Okay, I'd like to make the motion to add it to the emergency LLC process.
Okay, motion has been made by Marie.
Support.
Supported by Kirby. Any more questions or comments? Yes. Kirby.
So does that automatically go to the next work session then?
Yep. So now that if you guys want to process this as an emergency, then our first step would be to sit down, potentially with HRD, review their suggested revisions, come up with an emergency draft, and then have that follow our emergency process. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And then we also have to identify a sponsor?
Yes.
Marie?
I can be the sponsor.
You want to add that to your motion?
Motion to accept it for an emergency LLC process with Marie Summers being the sponsor.
You concur?
Support.
Kirby concurs. Okay. Any other questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to administrative updates, the LOC FYI third quarter report. Clarissa?
This item starts on page 87 of your packet. So what we have is we have the Legislative Operating Committee's FY 2021 third quarter report. So this report looks at the activities of the Legislative Operating Committee between April 1st, 2021 and June 30th, 2021. So on the first page of the report, you're going to see a table there. And what this table does is it identifies everything that was on the active files list during the third quarter. and it provides a visual of where in the legislative process each of these activities are. So it kind of shows you what was adopted and kind of how far each item is. If you go on to the next page, you'll see we have the Legislative Operating Committee action on the legislative request. So this highlights that during the third quarter, the Legislative Operating Committee added 6 legislative items to its active files list, and it denied the request for 1 legislative item. So the item that was denied was on May 5th, 2021. The LOC denied a request for the emergency repeal of the Budget Management and Control Law. So the LOC denied this request due to the fact that on April 28th, the Oneida Business Committee had considered whether that law should be repealed or amended, and the business committee had directed the LOC to bring back emergency amendments. So the next item that the report identifies is the LOC's legislative accomplishments. So this section goes over everything that the LOC had adopted or amended during the third quarter. So the LOC worked on adopting amendments to the Audit Committee bylaws. The LOC processed pardon and forgiveness law emergency amendments, election law emergency amendments, the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee bylaw amendments, Budget Management and Control Law emergency amendments, the Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance emergency amendments, Oneida Workers' Compensation Law emergency amendments, and the Early Return to Work Law emergency amendments. So in your packet under each of these items, it will provide a description of what the emergency amendments or the regular adoption of the amendments contained, and it provides more details on when exactly that occurred within the third quarter. So next, the report highlights the FY21 third quarter administrative accomplishments. So during the third quarter, the LOC brought forward the following administrative items for adoption or approval. So we had the petition, Lori Elm, real property law eviction and termination. A statement of effect for this petition was completed and submitted to the business committee. The LOC also worked on the Community Support Fund Law Rule Handbook amendments. So the rule handbook had to be amended because in March of 2021, amendments to the Community Support Fund Law were adopted. So the amendments to the rule handbook were made to become in compliance with the law. Next, the report also highlights just legislative work that occurred. So in there, you'll see some of the items that the LOC focused its time and attention to during the third quarter included the Budget Management Control Law amendments, Children's Code amendments, Furlough Law amendments, the Marijuana Law, the United General Welfare Law, Public Peace Law, Wellness Court Law, and then it also highlights that during the third quarter, the Pandemic Relief Assistance Law, as well as the General Tribal Council Meeting Stipend Payment Policy emergency amendments both expired. The report also provides information on the meetings that the LOC held during the third quarter, and it provides different goals that the LOC hopes to accomplish during the LOC fourth quarter. So during the fourth quarter, the LOC is going to focus its legislative efforts on continued response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the adoption of the Public Peace Law, a public meeting for the permanent adoption of the Oneida General Welfare Law, the development of amendments to the Budget Management Control Law, a public meeting for the amendments to the furlough law, and during the fourth order, the goal was to hire a legislative analyst for the Legislative Reference Office. So that concludes the various information that's included in the LOC's FY21 third quarter report. At the end of the report, there's also the contact information, the general contact information for the LOC as a whole, as well as contact information for each member of the LOC in case anyone who reads this report has additional questions on the information that's included. So what we're looking for from the LOC today is to consider adopting a motion to approve the LOC FY21 third quarter report and forward to the Oneida Business Committee.
Marie?
I just would like to add that the LRO office has been extremely short staffed, and I think that the third quarter report with the laws that are listed here, the amendments, the work that goes behind it, in-depth review, research, and validation of an impact with other laws, it takes a lot. And there's only been 2 people in this office for the last year and a half, I think. But thank you, and I support and accept the report. So move.
Motion made by Murray.
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries. I apologize, at the beginning of the meeting, the sound was off. So I just want to go over, we started the meeting at 9 o'clock. We have Marie, Daniel, Kirby, and myself chairing. Jenny is out on vacation, so she's excused. The first one was adopt the agenda. The motion was made by Marie, seconded by Kirby. Motion carried. And then approval of the minutes was made by Marie and Kirby as well, and motion had carried. So thank you. I'm sorry about that. Technical difficulties happens once in a while. At this time, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:35.
Second.
By Daniel, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.